Thank you. We were. 是不易。There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than here in your love. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than here in your love.Come on, there's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than hearing you, Lord, right hearing you, Lord. No place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than hearing you, Lord, hearing you, Lord. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain.Cause I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. Cause I want more of you, God. So let your fire fall down. Fire, fall down. Fire, fall down on us, we pray.
Today, just lift your hands and receive the fire right now. Just begin to receive the fire from heaven. Holy Spirit, we ask you to move in this room. We ask that you would send forth your word, God, that you would heal this land. Father, we ask that you would pour out your fire, a fresh fire. Come on, begin to lift up our voices all over this room. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Let's receive the fire of God that burns through every iniquity, that burns through every disease, that burns through every issue. We receive the fire in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, let's begin to just sing it. Let's sing it again. And let's sing it with expectation that the fire of the Holy Spirit is in this place. Father, we're hungry for you today.
Fire.
Jesus, we want more today. Jesus, we're hungry for your presence. Like a dry and thirsty land, we cry out to you today. Fill us with your fire. Let your fire be ever burning on the altar of our hearts. As it says in Leviticus, let the fire not go out. Let it be burning continuously. Father, let us not be foolish and let the oil go out from our lamps, but let us be like the 10 wise women who kept the oil in their lamps, who were ready for the fire to burn. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would consume our hearts. Consume us today. The presence of God is so sweet in this place right now. Just take another moment and just drink it in. He's moving. There's a healing anointing in this room right now. Arthritis is being healed right now. Receive it. Arthritis is being healed right now. Somebody's having an issue in their right arm. It's being healed right now. Receive it. Don't rush the presence of God.
We love you. We'll never stop. We can't live without you. Jesus, we love you. We can't get enough of this. It's for you,
Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for who you are, that there's nobody like you in heaven or earth. We thank you for the way that you love us, the way that you give us yourself and all your many blessings. Father, we ask that you would seal what you've done in our hearts today in worship, that you would open us up to hear the word today and to receive more of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give God a big hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Welcome to Carpenter's Shop International Church. We're glad you're here. If you're tuning in online or by television today, thank you for joining us. Carpenter's Shop is a multicultural, multi-generational church whose mission is to love, win, build, and send. As we continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings, please know that there are several ways to give. You can do so by text on our My Church app. You can also do it on our website. If you're watching online, you can click the link below And if you're here in the building today, we invite you to come forward and drop your tithes and offerings in one of the buckets. You're welcome to come. Go ahead and give.
Yeah, George, I remember. Man, I didn't know if we were going to make it out of there or not. I mean, with those lions and the hyenas were there, and it was really scary. We are really, really lucky that we had God on our side for that epic adventure. I know, man, we have been through some stuff. I can remember all these different things that we've done. Wow. Oh. Hey, George, let me call you back. I see our friends are here. I'm going to talk to them for a while. Okay, cool. All right. Hey, guys. Man, good to see you again. You know, I was just talking to George. We were just remembering all of the great epic adventures that we've gone on out here in the wilderness. I mean, we've been here for a while, even longer than you guys. And we have been through some really, really crazy stuff. And if we're not careful, we'll forget about all those things that we've been through, and we might wind up making some of the same mistakes again that we made back then. So it's really important for us to do something to try to help us remember where we come from. How about you guys? Do you ever have a problem remembering things? Maybe you can't remember where you put your toothbrush. Maybe you don't even know if you brushed your teeth this morning. I don't know about you, but sometimes I walk around and I just totally forget things that I should be remembering. I've been walking around everywhere today trying to find my hat. I mean, I can't remember where I put it. I checked in the treehouse. It wasn't there. I went to George's house. It wasn't there. I even looked behind the bush. It wasn't there. I don't know where the hat is. Have you guys seen it? What? Oh man, it's on my head. See what I'm saying? Sometimes we just totally forget even simple things. And that's why it's important for us to have reminders that we can look at and think back on to help us remember. I'm gonna give you guys just a minute to think really hard and see if you can remember what our adventure has been about since you guys have been here. That's right. We have been on an adventure in the Promised Land. And guess what, guys? We made it. We made it in just like God said we would. And it is awesome. And we couldn't have done it without your help. So I really, really appreciate that. Hold on just a second. Hello? What are you talking about, George? You're saying there's a giant banana with wheels on it? Coming through the jungle, it looks like it's coming our way. You want to know if you and the other monkeys should throw poop at it? Well, just hold on a second. Just hold on a second. Let's think about this. Let's see. It's yellow. It's long. It has wheels on it. It has somebody driving it. What do you guys think? I wonder what it could be.
Oh, you're right. It's a school bus. Man, the bus must be coming back to pick you guys up.
George, hold on. Calm down. It's just the bus. It's coming back to pick up our friends. It must be time for them to go home from the wilderness. Oh, just calm down. It's okay. It's okay. You'll have plenty of time to throw poop later. Don't worry. Oh, you put something in my bag that you want me to share with our friends before they leave? Thanks, George. I'll check it now, and I'll call you back. Guys, let's see what George has in the bag. Oh, yes. Man, guys, George has really hooked us up here. Why don't you guys shout out? Tell me what you think is in here. I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, it must be a bag full of candy. That would be the greatest present ever. And then some of you are probably saying, Ranger G, it must be a bag full of money. That would be the greatest present ever. But you know what I say? Nay, nay. You guys forget, we're out here in the jungle. We're hanging out with the monkeys. And there's only one thing that could possibly be in this bag. That's right, guys. Pizza. Man, George is really looking out for us today. I see some fresh cockroaches on that thing. Guys, since it's your last day here, I'll be nice. I'll let you choose your piece of pizza first. But hurry up. You gotta get them before they crawl away. And I'll tell you what, while we're eating, while we're waiting for the bus to come pick you guys up, I think we got time for one more story in the Bible. And since we're talking about remembering things, let's see if we can figure out what the people in the Bible did to help them remember God.
So how many of you guys have a great memory? I feel like the older I get, the worse my memory gets. But we're going to play a memory game today. And we're going to show something on the screen. There's going to be 20 items. We're going to give you 20 seconds to see how many of the items you can memorize. And then afterwards, we're going to see how many you remembered. So let's take a look at this quick video to look at the items. Okay, that was 20 seconds. So now I want you to like use your fingers and count up how many of the items that you can remember that are on the screen. I'm gonna let you wave at me if you think you can remember 5 items. We'll see who can remember 10. Just count your fingers really quickly how many you think that you can remember. Wave at me if you remember 5 items. Did you remember 5 items? We got a lot of people that remember 5. Did anybody remember 10 items? Oh, we got some 10. What about, you ran out of fingers, but 15 items. Did anybody remember 15 items? I think 10 was pretty much our threshold. Let's see how a young memory is. Mara, come up here. Let's see how many. She did not get to see this ahead of time. I'm putting her on the spot. Let's see. Mara, how many did you remember? You want to tell me some? Tell me some that you remember. What are some that you remember?
The hammer, apple, the necklace, the E, the car keys, the rubber band, the scissors.
Let's see, what else do we say?
The shell, the starfish.
Great job. The necklace, the E. You already said this. Great job. Let's give her a hand. Good job. Thank you, Var. Go sit down. Thank you so much. So sometimes it can be kind of hard to remember. Let's show the picture up there again so you can remind yourself. We also had the rubber duck, Mara, the nail polish, the dime, the fork, the car. I know I couldn't remember even 10 of those things probably. So sometimes it can be kind of difficult to remember. maybe there's things that we like to remember, memories that we've had, trips that we've been on, times with family. How does your family remember those things? Is there a scrapbook? Some people are great scrapbookers. Or some people post on social media just so they can go back and remember the things that they've done. Maybe there's a box of photos. That's pretty much what I have, is a box of photos to remember by. In our story today, God's people, the Israelites, found a way to remember. God had told them how to remember the amazing things that God had done for them. Let's take a look at our scripture today, and it is in Joshua again, in Joshua chapter 3 and 4. And it said, so before this point, I'll give you a little bit of background. They had reached the Jordan River. And at this time of the year, the Jordan River overflowed. It was in a flood stage. So they could not just walk through the river. So they're here at the river. God has told them to cross the river to go over into into Jericho. And now they need to see, what are they going to do? So the people took their tents down. They prepared to go across the Jordan River. The priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. The water of the Jordan was going over its banks. It always does that at this time. The crops are being gathered. The priest came to the river. Their feet touched the water's edge. Right away, the water coming down the river stopped flowing. It piled up far away at a town called Adam near Zarethan. The water flowing down to the Dead Sea was completely cut off. So the people went across the Jordan River opposite Jericho. The priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, they stopped in the middle of the river and stood on dry ground, and they stayed there until the whole nation of Israel had gone across on dry ground. So God had promised them, and it happened exactly as it said. As soon as the priest stepped into the river stopped flowing. So God told Joshua to get 12 men, to get 12 stones, and to gather the stones, to pile them up in the middle of the river to remind them of this amazing thing that God had done. They said, even when your children, years later, generations later, ask, why is that in the middle of the river? You can tell them, because God has done this amazing thing. See, God has done amazing things for us too. I have a challenge for you today. Sometime today, sit down and write 10 things. This is a great thing to remember, more than something on a picture. 10 things that God has done for you. We remember how faithful he is, how much he loves us, how amazing all the things that he's done in our life. And it helps us to remember that his love for us, it just lasts forever and ever. So maybe we're not building up stones today to remind us how great God is, but we still can find a way to remember that God is amazing. Let's pray. God, we thank you for taking us on this epic adventure that we're on in this life. God, I pray that you'd help us to remember how amazing and how wonderful you are to us. God, I pray that you'd help us to be courageous and bold, and that we would continue on this epic adventure as you lead us and help us to remember all that you've done before and all that you're going to do. In your name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Give it up for our kids' ministry, would you? Praise God. Those of you that are watching online, remember the kids' ministry comes on right after Carpenter Shop's broadcast closes, right around noon. And it's been getting a lot of attention. We appreciate that. If you would help us out by just going to that, even if you say, well, you know what, I saw the live version, so I may not watch it over again, or maybe the kids want to watch it again. What you can do to really help is just hit share. That's all you got to do, because when you do that, you just multiply the efforts and throw it out there on the internet, and we've got a tremendous online campus built up there, and we thank God for that. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for all that you are. We've sung about you today. We've worshiped, and we thank you, Lord, for the gift of music. We pray, Father, that you would help us today as we take a look into your word now. Lord, just help us to recognize that you've called us. Help us not to forget, even if you've just reminded us, not to forget you, not to forget all that you are, not to forget all that you've redeemed us from. And you've called us, God, to live holy lives. You've called us to live lives transformed by your power. And we give you praise for keeping us, for sustaining us through difficult times, through hardship, through challenge, through trial, through testing. These we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I begin a series today that I simply want to title Transformational Living. Transformational Living. I want to walk with you for the next couple of months through a series of messages on transformed lives. They're coming from the book of Romans. So if you could get a jump on things, you could just begin reading Romans and you'll be okay. We're talking about transformed lives, transformational living. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 12. And the verses are very familiar, verses 1 and 2. Verses that many of you could just go ahead and recite from your heart, from your memory. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm reading from the New International Version. Again, welcome our online audience. We're glad you're with us today. And we appreciate you tuning in faithfully each week. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, that's a key word. Therefore, I urge you, brothers. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. He's talking to the church at Rome here. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. There are several parenthetical statements here. They're qualifiers. They're things that cause us to really zero in on what God is saying. It's all in view of his mercy. I want you, he says, to offer your bodies. Somebody say bodies. He says, I want to offer you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And then he says, in finality, this is your spiritual act of worship. You know, sometimes we reduce worship down to an experience that happens on Sunday. But this is what he says. He says, this is your worship. This is your spiritual act of worship. And he says, do not, verse 2, do not conform. There's a play on two words here I want you to pay attention to. Do not conform, that's one of them, any longer to the pattern of this world. But here's the second word, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you've reached something. If you do this, he said, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Some people struggle with, you know, every one of us from time to time say, hey, man, you know, I'm just trying to do God's will. I don't really know God's will. What we're doing is we're equating that to life and marriage or relationship, or we're equating it to business or what we should do for a living, or should we take this job or that job, or even college. You say, I don't know what God's will is for my life anymore. Well, here's what he says very boldly and very clearly. Then you will be able to approve, to test, to approve what God's will is. What kind of will is it? It's a good, a pleasing, and a perfect will. If you want to discover what God's will is, these two verses encompass that. These two words describe that. Verse 1, look at that pivotal word. It's a word therefore. Underline it in your Bible. Well, I don't write in my Bible. Well, buy you one you can, okay? Buy you one you can write in, okay? Maybe that page doesn't take ink. How many of y'all were taught don't write in the Bible? I was taught that as a kid. That was so wrong. That's so wrong. You should write in your Bible. You should make notes when the Holy Spirit gives you something, you know, a fresh rhema word. When God speaks to your heart, underline something, put an asterisk beside it, highlight it with a highlighter. You should write in your Bible. So that word, therefore, Paul moves, what he's doing here, he's moving from a doctrinal position to a practical position. I'm going to do a little preach teach today. Is that okay? He's moving from a doctrinal to a practical position. Chapters 1 and 11, what do you mean, Pastor? Chapters 1 and 11, 1 to 11, Paul is really laying down Christian doctrine. He's getting down all the rules and the regulations, all the policies, all the procedures. This is the, you know, this is the book. These are the chapters that formulate the policies and procedures. The behavior manual, come on, behavior manual. And he's laying down Christian doctrine. And then we get to chapter number 12, because you have to remember when Paul was doing this, he didn't take a big Sharpie and write, okay, chapter 12. No, he didn't do that. Who did that? We did that. We did that simply to be able to keep up with verses and chapters and narratives and stories. So when we get to chapter number 12, he picks up the practical, the idea of Christianity in shoe leather, the idea of Christianity walking around terra firma, walking around planet Earth, walking out our relationship with God on the earth. Remember, it was Jesus who called us to be what? Salt and light. So when we get to chapter number 12, he says, therefore, so this is what he's saying. In light of all that I have taught you from chapters 1 to 11. Listen, if you've never studied, all I'm doing is studying the Bible out loud. That's all I'm doing this morning. If you've never done this, when you see that word therefore in your Bible, you should just see a stop sign in your spirit right there. And you should go back and say, now, wait a minute. He's saying, therefore, what have I just read? So Paul is saying here, therefore, in light of all that I have just told you. So what did he tell us? Well, in a nutshell, we can just summarize it in a few verses. I did it myself. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Here's Christian doctrine. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us are trifling. Come on. Every one of us. Our best. Isaiah prophesied and said what? Our best is what? Filthy rags. Thank you. Our best is filthy rags before God. He says you're trifling and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, since you've given your heart to Christ, do you still fall short of the glory of God? Help me here. Yes, you do. You still fall short of the glory of God. You can try your dead level best, and you're still going to come up short. Because you know what? You're the framework of the dirt. Come on. You're flesh. You're clay. You're in a body that is flesh, and you have fleshly desires, and you have fleshly thoughts. But you have to bring those captive and under submission to what? To God and His will and His plans and His purpose. Everyone are flesh. There's not a single one of you sitting in this room right now. There's not a single one of you listening in this online campus that really, you got some smut in your life. Come on. You do. You got some trashy places. You've got some corridors, some little cracks and crevices that you really would not want anybody to know about. It might just exist from your neck up. But you got them. Why? Because you are of the framework of the dirt. Listen, not throwing stones at anyone. You ever heard the old adage, if you point a finger at somebody, guess what you got? You got three pointing back at you, bud. So you can't throw stones and say, well, yeah, I know what Pastor's talking about. We got some folks in carpenter shop now. I know that. No, you're one of them. You're one of them. Amen. Come on, somebody say me. Amen. He says, for all have sinned and all do what? Fall short of the glory of God. Thank God, John said, when we do sin, what? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the holy one. Amen. Aren't you glad you have someone to turn to? Then he says another key thing that he says in Romans is Romans 6:23. For the wages, how many of y'all know what wages are? They're payment for what you've done, okay? Or payment for what you didn't do. For the wages of sin, the payoff for sin is death. But the gift of God, amen, is filled with mercy and grace. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm so glad we don't get what we deserve, amen? I'm so glad we don't get what we're worthy of. But we get to be, and we have His righteousness imputed unto us. Amen? His righteousness is imputed unto us. And so we're declared righteous, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we got all of sin, we've got the wages of sin, and then we got Romans 10, 9, and 10. You remember when you did this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God did raise Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and you are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Paul reaches this pivotal point, this chapter 12, where he says, therefore, I urge you, because of these principles, because of these basic Christian principles of following Jesus, he says, I urge you, in view of the mercy of God, to offer your body, this temple, this temple of God. His presence is housed in there. He says, I urge you to offer your body a living sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice? Holy. Holy sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice? A pleasing sacrifice. Because when you do this, he says, this is your spiritual act of worship. I've said it many times that I've been here, the 28 years that I've been here. I've said many times, worship is misspelled. worship is really not the way we should spell worship. How should we spell it? worthship. It's really about declaring his worth. Why did you come here today? Well, you know, we always do church on Sunday. Oh, is that really why you came? Just because it's habit? Why did you come here today? Well, you know, I like the music. Is that why you came? Listen to the radio, okay? Why did you come here today? Well, because I get some business transactions. You know, I sell insurance or whatever. No. That's not why you came here. Why did you come here? You came here because this is the appointed time. You tuned in today to Carpenter Shop International Church because this is the appointed time to do what? To set aside some time to declare collectively as a body of believers to declare his worth. I'm getting excited just talking about this. Excuse me. Just to declare his worth. When I walked into the room, he's already in the room. When I walked in here, I come and I just want to say, God, I just want to thank you today for waking me up, for putting breath in my body today. I just want to thank you, God, that you've allowed me to have a good night's rest and you have plans for me today. You have some things that you want me to be involved in today. I thank you, God, that you've given me ability to work, to drive nails, to be a plumber, to teach school or whatever God's called you to do, to preach the gospel. I thank you that you have given me direction and you're causing me to fulfill a destiny in my life. I'm not here just for nothing. I'm here for something that God has positioned me for uniquely. And I just thank you, God, that today I get to experience life one more time. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys are excited today. I'm excited as well. We are excited. Why? Because we have a purpose in this life. We have a purpose on this earth. You know what? You know what I've discovered? I've discovered that everything about the secular media is trying to destroy the hope that is within you. You know, and listen, this is not a pot shot at anybody, okay? But let me tell you something. If you think it's hard right now, well, dude, I've had so many calls this week, not just from a few of you guys, very few of you guys, because I think you knew what the standard was. But I had a few calls from preachers. Hey, Pastor Phillips, can I ask you a question? Yeah, what is it? What about the mask on Sunday? I said, what do you mean? I got one, okay. Well, what good is it doing in your pocket? I got one just in case somebody wants to make me put it on. But I'm not walking around with a mask, okay. I'm not. If I have to put one on, I will. And I've had to. I've had people to say, would you please, before you come in here, would you please put a mask on? I didn't say, no, I'm not. What did I do? I put a mask on. And when I finished at their facility or their place, you know what I did? I stuck it back in my pocket. Okay, so I'm armed, okay? I'm ready. All right? Well, listen, somebody asked me, Pastor, what are you doing about the church? The church is exempt. The church is exempt. You don't have to worry about what you saw or you heard the governor say. You don't have to worry about that because when you walked into the room, come on somebody, when you walked into this room, guess what? Everything changed. Okay? You can take it off. If you're more comfortable with it on, that's okay. Nobody's going to look at you like, what you doing sitting there with your mask on? It's because it's your right. It's your privilege. If you want to use one, use one. But if you don't want to use one, don't criticize those who do. Okay? That's their distinct privilege and right. Okay? And if you feel better with it, then wear it. If it doesn't bother you to not have one on, then don't worry about it. Okay? So that's what I'm telling you. What are you doing? You're using social distancing. You're not crunched up there elbow to elbow, turning around and speaking face to face with people. You're separated. You're apart. Okay? If you're a family, you might take up the whole pew. But other than that, you're separated. Okay? So you're doing the best that you can do. Can I just tell you something? I prophesy this to you. It's going to get worse. Okay? It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. The church is getting ready to be squeezed, I promise you. And the reason, I told Pastor Joy this week, I said, you know, I'm a little undecided about where I'm going in my preaching here for the next few weeks. I said, but I think I've come to the conclusion I'm going to preach on transformed living. You know why? Because here, I say it in the name of Jesus. If you don't have a transformed life, you're not going to make it. If you're, listen, beloved. If you're listening online, listen to me. If your life is not totally transformed, I didn't mean you put your name on a church roster and said, I'm a member there. No, no. I'm saying if your life is not hidden in Christ with God, then you are going to be in a mess. You're going to be, as the old folks used to say, up creek without a paddle. And I didn't call the creek's name, okay? You're going to be up the creek without a paddle because you're not going to be able to navigate the waters in which the church is heading in these days ahead. You're not. Read the book, okay? Just read the book. Have you noticed how many preachers are teaching and preaching on the book of Revelation? Have you noticed how many preachers and teachers are preaching from Matthew 24? We are nearer now than when we were, honey. We're closer and closer and closer to the coming again of the Lord Jesus. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. If you're not ready, you're not going to make it. If your life is not transformed by the power of the gospel, you're going to be in trouble. You know what you're going to do? Just as easy as you wore the mask, you're going to take the mark. No, I'm not. I'm a Christian. Really? Are you really a Christian? Because when this world system begins to squeeze in on you, and they're going to say to you, you got to take this shot. You got to do this. Listen, I'm not taking the vaccine. I'm sorry. No shot for me. Okay? Well, I don't know why he wouldn't take it so he wouldn't get corona. I'm not taking it because I'm not following their system. Okay? I'm not doing it. Somebody clap, please. I'm not following their system. I'm just not. I put a Facebook post on this week. I thought it quite interesting. I put a Facebook quote on this week from the life of the old terrible Holocaust guy, Adolf Hitler, and how he slowly, somebody say slowly, how he slowly caused people to follow him, how he slowly, easily took away one little right after another. I put that Facebook post on within 10 minutes. Facebook took it off of my feed. Shut it down so it was unreadable. My wife said, I said, did you see my post? She said, there's no post there. She said, it's eliminated. I said, what? Yeah, they took it off. They read your Facebook more than your friends do. Okay? They do. They read your Facebook more than your friends do. Every time you post something, everybody sees it. Even the Facebook people. Amen? And so nothing's secret. Amen? And so I just simply put down there, isn't it amazing how Hitler was able to slowly take away the rights of people until he ultimately had them controlled, and he did away, here we go, with 6 million people. You say, yeah, I remember the Jewish Holocaust. It was great. It was deeper than Jewish, honey. It was deeper than Jewish. It went to mentally retarded people, mentally challenged people. It took care of all the Jehovah's Witnesses. Listen, it's deeper than Judaism. It was evil at its height that this world had ever seen. But can I just tell you something? You better get ready. You better buckle your seatbelt, and you better be riding in the seat with Jesus right there with you. Because you know what? Unless you're able to live a transformed life by the power of God, you're going to have a hard time. And you might just say, well, you know what? I don't know if I can do this or not. Just give me the mark. Don't think that you're so secure that under pressure you won't break. Because if it's not for the grace and the mercy of God that's already been paid for, you won't be able to move forward. Tell your friends. Somebody better be preaching something about this. Tell your friends. Listen, I'm sick of watching preachers talk about send me $1,000 and God's going to make you rich and all that stuff. Somebody better be preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. Getting the church ready. Getting planet Earth ready, getting them to live a transformed life so that they will be ready. Amen? It's a pivotal place. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of the mercy of God, offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. King James says this is your reasonable act of what? Service. This is your reasonable act of service. Not doing God any favors. This is what's expected of you. Okay? In other words, in light of what I've taught you in the first 11 chapters, Paul says, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for you to live out your relationship with Christ on this earth. You've confessed, you've repented, you've believed, and I want you to always know that God has extended His mercy to you and His mercy to us all. And in view of that, present your body a living sacrifice. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot for you and I, but to the people that Paul was writing to, it meant a whole lot because they were a little closer to the point in time which we're reading about. They understood the whole idea of sacrificial living. Church at Rome would have well understood the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and their means of dealing with sin. It was through the blood of bulls and goats. That was how sin was dealt with. It was through the offering of a lamb as a sacrifice. Remember Hebrews 9:22? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. But this time, God says, I'm looking for you to be the sacrifice. Oh, no, 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 no. I don't want to die. You don't have to. He already has. Amen? He's given His life, the supreme sacrifice for you, so that you don't have to die. But you receive His mercy and His grace, and you walk in it. Friends, this is the gospel. This is the good news. You don't have to die. You get to be a sacrifice that is alive. You ever heard such a thing? A living sacrifice? Sacrifice has died. Sacrifice had the blood spill. It's like a jumbo shrimp. Huh? Come on. What do we call that? An oxymoron. An oxymoron. A jumbo shrimp. A living sacrifice. It doesn't make sense. Our minds can't comprehend it. But He says, I want you to be a sacrifice to God that's walking around alive, living your transformed life for others to see. And listen, some of you aren't transformed enough yet. Well, that just went over like a lead balloon. I said, some of you aren't transformed enough yet, because I've seen some of your Facebook posts. See, Facebook watches them, but guess what? So does the body of Christ. So does the church. Be careful when you put your selfies up there, what you're wearing or what you're not wearing. Okay? Be careful. Be careful what you comment or what you don't comment. You know why? Because you're called to be what? A living sacrifice. Oh, he goes to Carpenter Shop. Is that what they're about? Come on. Pastor, you're preaching a little tight this morning. Guess what? I've read the gospel. It's tight. It's tight. Amen. It's tight. It's tight. I've read the gospel over and over and over, and the longer that I live the gospel, the more that I see the gospel is tight. Salvation is absolutely free, but you've heard me say it 100 times. Discipleship will cost you your life. He says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable. And He says, if you do this, you ain't doing me no big favors. That's your reasonable act of worship. That's just a reasonable act of service right there. Live sacrificially means death to my desires, death to my wants, death to my will, because my life is offered to His desires, His wants, His will. And Paul reminds us that when we do this, this is worship. This is declaring the worth of the Lord. It's our lives declaring His worth. I just wish I could get somebody to say something this morning. Amen. This is God declaring His worth through you and I. You see, that's the challenge for us today, because here we are again on Sunday, 10 o'clock, that sacred hour, in most cases 10, 11, something like that. We gather churches in every time zone of our nation. We'll rise up on Sunday, the day of worship. We're back in the church. Well, not everybody is, but some of us are. We're back in the building, okay? We're here collectively worship. We enter into the sacred place called the sanctuary, buildings dedicated to worship, dedicated to the praise of our God, places where we assemble for an hour or two out of the 168 that exist in what we call a full week. 1 or 2 hours. Out of 168. I don't know if I'm going to church today. I don't know if I want to go or not. I just want to lay here and get some rest. I deserve a break. Go to Burger King then, okay? Some of y'all didn't get that. You're too young. Amen. No,
It is a privilege for us to take a couple of hours and come into the sanctuary. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad when I could get in there and lift up holy hands and worship the Lord. I was glad I could sing this morning. When you walk into the room, everything changes. I was glad I could sing this morning. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. I know you will. Amen. I know you will, God. Why? Because you're faithful and you've done it so many times before. I know you're going to do it again. Open up the Red Sea. Let me walk across on dry ground. Why? Because I serve a living God who's not dead. I serve a God that CNN and Fox News cannot control. I serve a God that the Republicans and the Democrats both can't manipulate. God is in control of our lives. God is in control of our lives. And when we put our faith and trust in Him, He will allow us to live a life transformed by the power of the cross. Come on, somebody. You're here on Sunday again, 10 o'clock. We enter the holy place, the sanctuary, to worship Him. In other words, some would say we're doing church. Can I just tell you something? God's not called you to do church. God's called you to be church. Thank you, honey. He never called you to do church. It should be so automatic. Being the church should be so automatic. I won't call any names this morning because these are treacherous times in which we live in. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But someone told me this week in the medical profession, right after worship on Sunday, right after the weekend, right after collective gathering, when they went into the sanctuary and lifted up holy hands and got fueled and recharged, they went to work early Monday morning and they had a conversation divinely set up with someone in a medical facility. And the lady was in tears. She was a white lady. She was in tears. She was in tears and she was weeping and she reached out to this person because she admittedly had attended, in ignorance, she had attended a real live meeting of the KKK. And she was sorry for what she had done. And that person was able to minister to that other person. That person, listen, we shouldn't even be having those kinds of meetings. There shouldn't even be those organizations that exist. We should never have a KKK, and there never should even need to be an NAACP. Never! We shouldn't have to have people who help others advance because we're all the same. But guess what? We have them. We have them. But because of the transformed life that this person lived, they were able on the job to minister to someone who was broken. They were able to minister Jesus to them, invite them to their church and say, listen, God forgives you for what you've done. You went in there in ignorance. You said, God forgives you. Let me pray with you. And while that lady wandered in a doctor's office for one reason, the Holy Ghost set her up for another. Come on, somebody. Why? Because somebody's living a transformed life and has something to offer that person. Amen. That's the way it should be. Why? Because our lives are transformed. That's why he says to us in verse 2. Check it out. I told you I was going to teach. I'm sorry. Do not conform any longer. The Holy Spirit is saying that to some of y'all sitting here this morning. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and to prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, uses a play on words. The two words are conform and transform. Conform is to be like a pattern. It's to be a copy. You know, when you take something to the copy machine, why are you taking it there? Because you have the original, but you need another one just like it. Come on. You need another one just like it. So you use the copy machine. And so here he says, listen, look at what he says here. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't let your life copy the way the world lives. That's all he's saying. I remember when Pastor Joy and I, several years ago, many, many years ago, wow, we've been together 39 years this year. 39 years. I remember we've owned a couple little business ventures over the years. We had a little family business that we were a part of called the Country Charm Gift and Craft Shop. We rented a place in Edenton out at the 5 Mile Y, and we opened up a little gift shop that specialized in country crafts. How many of you are glad they're all gone in the yard sale now? Come on. Amen. I mean, all it took, Pastor Mike, was a scroll saw and a bandsaw and a sander, man, and you could make some money. All you needed was 1x12 pine shelving, and you could make some money. Come on. All you needed was a little bit of Jacobean stain, you know, from Minwax and a rag and somebody who could paint some eyes on it. You remember that, Miss Audrey. We made some stuff, man. But you know what we would do? Long before the days of cell phones. We didn't have these. Now we just say, she said, honey, I like that. I'd like to have one of those. And so you just go over there and say, chicka, put it in your pocket. You'll look it up later. You'll find out what it is later. But in those days, you didn't have that. You walking through a store and you saw a little country craft, might be a goose, might be a chicken, whatever. And you saw something you liked. You know what you did? We carried paper in her pocketbook. And we made sure nobody was looking. And she said, okay. You take that pencil and you take that piece of paper and you lay that little chicken down on the paper and you trace around it. Okay? And then you go to your bandsaw. Come on now. Don't you know what that is? That's stealing. Okay? Well, I was being a little facetious. We always ask. Hey, this is the answer we got. Hey, we kind of like that chicken. We do country crafts. We like your goose or whatever. Well, goose is a goose. Not always. We like your goose. Can we get a copy of that? Because we live in Edenton and we got a little craft shop. She says, yeah, you can get a copy of it. And she looked on the price tag. It's $20. You can get a copy of it. So, well, pull out the money, buy the goose. Because you're getting ready to make 15 or 20 anyway, and you're going to sell yours too, right? So you had to buy the pattern. Because what you were wanting to do is to copy her goose and just make her goose at least look like yours, if not better. And then you could sell that booger. Amen? So here's what Paul is saying to the church. Here's what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Don't copy the world. Okay? Don't copy the world. You know what I used to do when I was young and ineligible to buy alcohol? I rode around town drinking apple juice. You know why? Because I wanted my friends to see that I had a beer in my hand. Okay? And when I got up beside them, I'd just pour it up like that and just keep on going. 16 years old, got my license, I'm drinking and driving already. I did that because you know what I wanted? I wanted the perception to be that he drinks too. Okay? And guess what? There was a time come that it wasn't apple juice. There was a time come that it was the real deal. There was a time come that I drank and drive. There was a time come that I did those things. Mom and Daddy are listening to this message, and I say, huh? He did that? Yes. Yes, I did that. Got stopped by the law. I remember getting stopped by the law one night in Edenton, and I had a long neck in between my legs, you know, just drinking, having a good time. And the law stopped me, and I'm sitting there at the stoplight, and it turned green, and he says, hey, sir, he said, pull over here on this empty parking lot beside the post office. And I had set the beer down in the floor right there on Broad Street in Eden. I'd set down the beer down in the floor so he wouldn't see it, kind of covered it up with my legs. And when I took off, when the light turned green, guess what I forgot? I forgot to pick the beer up. So you know what was dripping out of the side of my truck when he came up and asked me for my license? Budweiser was dripping out of my truck. Now, you don't even want to know the rest of the story. Just forget it, okay? Because the point is this. The point is, you are not called to that. You're not called to copy the world. Your life is to be what? Transformed, not conformed. Don't be like, don't be the goose pattern of everything you see in the world. Hear me now. Be transformed. That is to do what? To experience stages and changes and transitions that come from your life that is hidden with God in Christ through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm preaching the gospel today. That's what you're called to. You're called to live differently. Well, I just can't help it, Pastor. That's just one of my weak spots. That's just one of them. You got rid of the other stuff, get rid of that. Okay? Well, I don't know. You know why you do what you do? Because you want to. Let that sink in for a second. You know why you smoke? Because you like smoking. Oh, I wish he wouldn't have brought up that. What else do you want me to bring up? I got a bunch of them on the list. The reason you smoke is because you like to smoke. Well, I know it ain't a good testimony. No, it's not. But you do it not because you just can't help it. You can help it. You just don't want to give it up yet. Now let that, what Pastor Noli say, let that register with you a little bit. Let that just sink in. Because I know what's happening right now. Conviction is working on some of your hearts. Okay? I'm not trying to beat you or badmouth you. I'm following the direction of the Holy Spirit who said, Wallace, preach on transformed living. Okay? The amens are getting fewer. No shouting now. Y'all were hollering like you were crazy a while ago. Okay? When I talked about the faithful God, y'all were jumping up and down acting like Pentecostals in here. Now you ain't saying nothing. You know why? Because I got in your own bank account. Okay? I got in your own closet. But guess what? It's all of us, remember? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All right? So the reason you have this little vial, well, you know what? I just can't help it, man. I just say stuff. I just say things. You know, I shouldn't say these words. You know why you say those words? Because you want to say those words. Okay? You know why you got a nasty mouth? Because you choose to have a nasty mouth. You just haven't surrendered that to the lordship of Jesus Christ just yet. Amen? Come on now. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. Don't be conformed. Don't be like the pattern, but be transformed. Because the world's pattern is more vile. The world's pattern is more evil. The world's pattern is more profane. The world's pattern is more ungodly. You know, you can't trust. Pastor Joy and I did away with TV in our house, you know, just not too long ago. No more Dish Network. And we've got, you know, just a satellite and all of our TV is streaming now. It's a little frustrating, but it doesn't cost me $103 for nothing. Okay? But still, when we stream, we start watching a movie on Netflix or something like that. You know what happens 5 minutes into it? I look at her, look at me, trash that. We can't watch that. I'm not going to sit here and watch things that are ungodly. I'm not going to sit here and watch people violate the holy covenant that God has given us. I'm not going to sit here and watch this and call that a good movie. Pass me the popcorn. No, turn it off. Why? Because I'm not conforming to the pattern of this world. Okay? I've been transformed. Okay? And I'm still being, help me here, transformed. I ain't got it all right yet, but I'm getting there. Amen? So I'm afraid that we have really an inaccurate pattern that has been created by the church at large today. The church hasn't given us a good pattern to follow. We gather into a building at 11 o'clock on Sunday, sing a few songs, listen to the preacher, and 168 hours later, we're right back here again, gathering in the church, singing a few songs, listen to the preacher, and 168, we're just like a hamster on the wheel, and nothing changes in our life. Then you're doing the wrong thing, honey. If nothing changes in your life, something is wrong. When you're transformed, you go through a change. In fact, if you study, if you get down to the big, deep stuff here, if you study this word, it is where we get our modern day word, school teachers, help me here, metamorphosis. But be ye transformed is metamorpho. Okay? It's where we get our understanding of how a little old slick, fuzzy worm can turn into a beautiful monarch butterfly. Amen? It's amazing how you can be around your cucumbers and you don't even see them. You're using seven dust and you got, 12 spotted cucumber beetles. You know what that rascal is? He's a corn earworm. He will eat your corn to death. He puts all the nasty brown spots on there that you have to cut out with a paring knife. Because it's the same thing, but there was metamorphosis that took place. Okay? How do you know that? Because I graduated from NC State University with a degree in entomology. Okay? So I know what I'm telling you is true. All right, pest control. God knew I was going to pastor a church, so I majored in pest control. Amen. But you get the picture. When you're transformed, you go through metamorphosis from this Greek language. It's a series of stages and changes and transitions. And we become, here we go, we become like the one who's changing us. Okay, come on. We become like, we are Christ followers and we are transformed into his image. Oh, this is going to be rough for you. This is going to be rough for you. So would you see Jesus doing the things that you do? If you've become like him, he don't do that. Why are you doing that? Okay, remember years ago when we had the little bracelet circling around WWJD? Nobody wears them anymore. Why? Because it drives them crazy. What would Jesus do on my hand every day? Amen? Come on, y'all relax. I'm going to let you out in a few minutes. All right. Transformational living. Remember what I said before I started preaching today? It's only the transformed lives that will be able to make it through what's coming on planet Earth in these next few months and years. Coronavirus is nothing. It's nothing. Coronavirus is nothing. Just another bad flu. In fact, I think the government and the conspirators make a whole lot more out of Corona than it ever was. Okay? You got folks right now scared to death. Scared to death. They won't go anywhere. They're locked in their homes. They won't go anywhere. Because I don't want to catch it. See? You look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. Look at the truth. Do the comparisons. See? There's somebody behind all this. You know who that somebody is? The devil. The devil. The devil is behind all this stuff. And guess what? I'm telling you, friends, mark my words. Mark my words. Read the book. It's going to get worse. Okay? It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And so you better have a transformed life. You better be doing your best to conform not to the pattern of the world, but to conform to the pattern of God's word. Amen? I'm afraid we don't have a real pretty picture of the church today because the church has messed it all up in some way. But when you're transformed, you go through that change, you go through that metamorphosis, and you become more like Jesus. You become transfigured, transformed into the image and the likeness of Christ on this earth. We're to live sacrificial lives, giving our lives for his cause. We're to be the church no matter where we are. You see, that's what the neat thing is. Every one of us is called to be a portable church. We're a portable church. We're the ecclesia. We're the called out ones, called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel to show forth praises to him who has called us out. Okay? And guess what? Listen, if you came here this morning, you sitting here, hey, I don't know if I'm going back next Sunday. No, I got all that transformation I need. I don't want to hear the other six messages. No, you do want to hear them. I promise you. You do. Because you, let me tell you something. For you to be ready, you must have a transformed life. He's going to listen to a bunch of people. He's going to have a bunch of people standing there and judge. Lord, Lord, didn't I go to church? I paid a little tithe to the church. I even cast out devils in your name. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That's what it's going to be like someday. He's only coming for a ready people. This universalism that's sweeping the earth today, you know, how would such a loving God let anybody go to hell? That's universalism. Everybody's going to heaven. No, they're not. Everybody's not going. Have you ever read what Jesus said about the sheep and the goats? Come on. Everybody's not going to heaven. Only the people whose lives are transformed by the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. A lamb, you know, slain from the foundation of this world, gave his life for us so that we could be a part of the chosen few. Jesus said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way. And the last time I read it in his gospel, it said, and few there will be that find it. But broad is the path that leads to destruction. How come we don't hear preaching like that today? Because nobody wants to offend anybody. But if you're offended, God bless you. God bless you. I'd rather offend you than you go to hell because I didn't tell you the truth. Paul said this. I'm closing down, worship team. Help me out here. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, do you not know that your body, what did he say, present? Present your bodies. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. Okay? Well, it's my right if I want to abort this baby. No, 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 honey. It's not your right. This is not your body. It has been lent to you as a dwelling place for the Most High God. That ought to shake your Kool-Aid. It really has. It has been lent to you. This body has been lent to you for a season. You get to walk around in it on planet Earth. The real you is on the inside. When this body is laid to rest, there's nothing there. The real you exits. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You are a soul, a person born on this earth with all the proponents of a personality, mind, will, and intellect, mind, will, and emotions. That's who you really are. That body is just a shell. It's just something for the real you to live in. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit you've received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. There's the price right there over my head. You were bought at the price. Therefore, there's another therefore. You ought to underline them every time you see them. Therefore, honor God with your body. Romans 12, 2, C part. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We need to live transformed lives like Peter and John did. Out of the upper room, filled with the Holy Ghost, they walked up to the temple at the hour of prayer, and they're approached by a beggar, and he's asking, alms for the poor? Alms for the poor? Peter just gave him the answer, man, we're broke. We're broke. We don't have any money. But I tell you what we do have, in the name of Jesus, they had the Holy Ghost. And they laid their hands on him. The Bible says immediately his ankle bones received strength. And he got what they had. Why? Because they were living what? Transformed lives. You got the answer right. Guess what? In heaven, people are well, not sick. In heaven, people are delivered, not bound. In heaven, people are happy, not depressed. In heaven, people are free, not in prison and to bondages. But Jesus said this, when you pray, say this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Here we go. On earth as it is in heaven. If you're in earth right now, it should be just like it is in heaven. You shouldn't be sick. You shouldn't be depressed. You shouldn't be downhearted. You shouldn't be broke. You shouldn't be none of those things. Why? Because you're a transformed person by the power of God. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You are a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. And you should be living under an open heaven where whatever you need, the Father just expends it right there to you. Amen. That's the benefits of being a child of God. I hope you'll stick around. 6 more messages on transformed living. Pastor, how do you do that? Quite simple. I'm glad you asked. Romans 12, second part. I call it 2B. By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. You renew your mind by hanging around people whose other minds have already been renewed. You renew your mind by gathering with people of God every chance you get. That's why the devil wants to keep folk away from the church. That's why he wants your Wi-Fi to go out just about the time the service comes on. The thing crashed on you. You weren't able to get it. You know why? Because the devil got in your Wi-Fi. He wants to keep you away from collective gathering with God's people. Because when you do that, your mind's renewed. Today, you will walk out of here today with a greater accountability for a transformed life than you did before you came here. You renew your mind by listening to music that builds up your faith. Well, I like all kinds of music too. But I find when I listen to other kinds of music, it doesn't build my faith up. It doesn't. All my rowdy friends have settled down, you know. I'm listening to, you know, all kinds of stuff. It doesn't build my faith up. Strikes a fancy for what I like, but it doesn't do anything to build my faith. When I watch the news, it doesn't build my faith. I've slowed down watching the news because you know what? I need more faith. I don't need failure. I don't need the television every night to tell me how sorry it is on this earth. And you know how we're going to be in such a terrible mess if Donald Trump gets to be president again. And we're just going to be in a terrible mess if Joe Biden gets in the office. You know what? They're both saying the same thing. That none of those guys are going to lead us in the right direction, and it's just ping pong back and forth depending upon which network you listen to. They're just going to sit there and tell you how bad it's going to be under either one of them's leadership. That's one thing they've said is true, okay? Because you know what? Those men cannot solve the problem that we have. The only way that the problem will be solved is by the transformation power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ gets a hold of the people on this place we call earth. Then and only then will we know righteousness. And it's really not going to happen until the whole story is unfolded. Really not going to happen until the whole thing's unfolded. We got to go through the worst before it gets better. By the renewing of your mind. You renew your mind by watching programming that encourages you, builds you up in your most holy faith. Sometimes my wife and I just turn YouTube on. Elevation worship. Just let the songs sing. Just let the songs saturate the house. Just let the music saturate the house. Let it play. When we walk out the door, you know what we do? We just leave it on. Just leave it on. Well, that run your light bill up. Yeah, but it runs demons away. Okay? Well, I'm paying for running demons away. $5 a month? Only $5 a month with Dominion Power can run demons out of your house. Just put Elevation Worship on. Come on, somebody. Don't be tight with your money. Run the demons out of your house. Leave a crack in the window and turn Elevation Worship on. Leave a crack in the window and put on some T.D. Jakes. Leave a crack in the window and put some Franklin Graham on there. Leave a crack in the window. Let Joyce Meyer talk to your people when they're not home. Come on. Let something fill the atmosphere. You know why? Because the atmosphere is charged with power. Y'all are making me sweat enough to baptize a Methodist this morning. It's time to quit. What I'm asking you this morning is, do you want to live a transformed life? Let's stand together, could you? Pastor, I want to live a transformed life. Come on, no, raise your hand, bow your head. Let me just say it this way. If you're here in this room today and you say, Pastor, I just need to live a transformed life, just step out of your seat right where you are. Come on down to the altar. And when you get here, don't wait for me to come and lay hands on you. Lift your hands to heaven to start talking to God, okay? Somebody will come. Somebody will pray with you. Somebody will help you. Somebody will minister to you. Pastors, help me here. Prayer team, help me here. Come on, just come and stand in His presence. Just let the Holy Ghost fill you with His presence. Get things right with God. I'm going to live a transformed life. I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to let the old things pass away. I'm renewing my faith in Jesus this morning. Listen, if you're listening online, just comment in the section below. We'll contact you today. Live a transformed life. Live live a transformed life. Come on, step out of your seat. Come right where you are. People are going to pray with you. Come on, sing it, guys.
When you walk into the room, everything changes. The darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. But when you walk into the room,
yes,
every heart starts burning. Nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you.
Come on, church, let's pray. Come on, lift those hands and pray. Hallelujah.
Worship you.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
To vanish and every hopeless situation ceases to exist.
Blessing to you, hit me up on Facebook. I'll send you the whole sermon word for word. I'll send it to you so you can go over those scriptures, go over those illustrations. I preach from a manuscript. I'm not ashamed of it. Word for word, I'll send it to you. You can go back and reflect this week. You can collect it, put it in a series, save the whole transformation series. God's going to speak to us on these next several weeks about what transformational living. Transformational living, how to live a transformed life. What I'm preparing you for is the future, okay? I'm preparing you for the future, amen? I'm preparing you for the future. And so you need to get ready. No need to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. No fear, no fear. We're trusting in the Lord. The righteous run to him, and what do they find? Safety. Because guess what? When the bottom falls out, you're going to be gone anyway. Okay? It's going to get rough, but when the bottom falls out, you're going to be gone. Why? Because of the rapture of the church. You're not staying here going through that mess. I know it's tough now, and I got some friends who don't believe that. They've already cashed in on the pre-tribulational rapture. I don't know for sure if that's not true or not. Well, go ahead and believe it if you want to. I still believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. I believe we're going to go through some hardship. Matthew 24, the love of many is going to wax cold right before our eyes. I believe that. But I believe in a moment, it's just going to happen, and the church is going to be out of here, and then all hell breaks loose on earth. And guess what happens? Oh, the Antichrist steps on the scene and says what? Peace! Peace! I got the answer. All you got to do is take the mark. We'll just set you up, your bank account and everything. You don't have to worry about that Visa card no more. Just use your thumbprint. Okay? We're setting up the system for him. The world is setting the system up for him. Okay? It's all coming to pass. It's all coming to pass. Never, 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 never did I think I'd ever see it get like this. But guess what? I'm excited. Listen, while I'm here on this earth, you know what? I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to live this life. I'm not going to be broke. I'm going to be blessed. I'm not going to be broke. I'm going to be healthy. I'm not going to be sick. Okay? I'm going to be healed. Amen. I'm going to do right things. Amen. I'm going to live a good life. As it is in heaven, so should it be. Come on, somebody. So should it be right here on earth. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Amen. We really do. Carpenter Shop International Church, thanks for being with us today. Sing it, guys.